is enough.
Is enough. And if you've heard enough of the conservative, right-wing agenda that overwhelms the Tampa Bay AM radio band, won't you join me, Ed Golly,
and me, Joe Reinhart, every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. for The Voice of Reason.
No spin, no alternative facts.
Just refreshing, straight talk concerning the events of the day.
Thursday, 10 a.m., right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
Are you looking for a job? Join me, Gene Hodge, on the Employment Opportunity Hour, Thursdays from 7 to 8 p.m., where I will tell you and share with you, as well as answer all of your questions and help you find enjoyable employment instead of a job. This is the only talk show that talks about everyone who makes up our workforce. Join me on the Employment Opportunity Hour every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. on the Employment Opportunity Hour.
Remember those great songs from the 50s, 60s, and 70s? Well, then don't miss JT's Oldies But Goodies. Saturdays from 1 to 2 p.m., JT will be playing the greatest hits as well as the forgotten oldies. These records are sure to bring back memories, so tune in and reminisce with JT's Oldies But Goodies, playing songs from three great decades. Saturdays from 1 to 2 p.m., right here on Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
Tampa Bay's Tan Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers. Linda is not here today. She's in New York visiting with family, but she'll be calling in, so stay tuned. We have a great guest host with us today who I'll introduce a little later. First of all, I'm going to tell you about our new listeners. We have Serafina from St. Pete, Beverly from Largo, Cynthia from Ohio, Lonnie from Ohio, and Jennifer from Safety Harbor. Welcome.
Well, welcome to you. I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, and also, Vince is on the board.
Hey, Vince.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you doing? Thanks
great,
so much
thank
for
you.
Helping me out, because you know I'm nervous as anything.
So am I.
But I'm Rick Incorvia, author and speaker, is our guest host today. Welcome, Rick.
Thanks. Great to be here. We got a real nice twist for you guys today. Usually, Linda is sitting here interviewing somebody. This time, we're turning the tables, and we get to interview Linda today. And if you've had a chance to read her book, Good Night and God Bless, you'll be right here with us. If not, grab it and read it. But Linda will be calling in soon, and we'll
she's
have a chance
on
to talk
the line
with her.
Now, I believe.
No way.
Yeah.
Linda Burhans herself.
Yeah. Are you there, Miss Linda?
Am I here? Of course I'm here.
Yeah. Are you worried about leaving the place with us in charge?
Not at all.
Well, you should be.
Should have been here 10 minutes ago. You would have been.
I never thought I'd be doing my radio show from a bedroom in New York City.
Yeah.
Are you in that bedroom alone?
Yep. I'm in my bedroom alone. All the other guests are in the living room.
Oh, the guests have already arrived.
Yes, yesterday afternoon.
Oh, and you're up already?
It's up and it's beautiful and it's sunny out, and I took a nice walk this morning at Washington Square Park and had a nice bagel.
So
it's
nice.
All good.
What's the weather like?
Lovely. It's about 60 degrees.
Okay. We call that cold here.
Yeah. Long underwear weather.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So thanks so much for doing this for me today, Rick. I really appreciate it. And God bless you, Lynn, because I know it makes you a little uneasy doing this.
I'm glad she's here.
You're very welcome. But Rick is the one who's going to interview you. You know what I think we should say, though, first is when your husband was ill and he told you he needed you there with him, but you weren't allowed to talk because he wanted quiet. And Rick's book came out, The Wrong Side of...
Of the Glass.
Of the Glass. And you told me that you read his book and it made your day and you laughed and laughed. Not loudly, because your husband would have given you a dirty look, but you said it saved your life that day, so...
It didn't. I was just telling my stepmother, Heidi, about that like 15 minutes ago. I was like, you know, I was stuck there sitting in the chair, and Rick's new book came out, and I was like, thank you! And it was a little funky, that book's a little funky. So
it's a little scary.
Yeah, but it was a nice twist, and it was just, it helped me escape from everything that was going on for a couple of hours, and that's what books should do.
Good.
Well, in a couple of months, you'll be able to read his new one, Bobby's Cabin, that's at the editor now.
I can't wait.
Okay.
So
speaking of books, why don't we throw stuff back and forth? I reread Good Night and God Bless again over the last week. And, you know, one of the things I really loved about it, Linda, was how in between or every maybe two or three times during a chapter, you quoted somebody. And there were some of the coolest quotes. I just loved them. But I wrote one down. You know how sometimes you're reading a book and you just have to stop and highlight or tear a page out? I tore a lot of pages out of your book. The one that really stuck with me was this one. The happiest of people don't necessarily have the best of everything. They just make the most of everything that comes their way. I thought that was magical.
It is magical, and I'll tell you, and that's what I try to do every day.
Yeah,
life
you do.
Life is not easy.
So
life,
I got to tell you.
Very challenging.
Sitting here with Lynn, she sure does brag about you. She's not afraid of anything, and I've just been hearing some stories that I didn't get a chance to hear. You know, sometimes when you're around, she won't tell me some of the things, and
I don't get a word in edgewise.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I learned a lot about you. I no longer like you.
He loves you.
I love you.
Oh, I love you too. I love you too, and I love being on the show, and I love being able to help caregivers. Just find a better way, because your caregiving experience can be the most horrific experience of your life or close to beautiful, depending on how you handle it.
So if I could mention to the listeners right now, my mother, I know so many of you know her, but Mama Rose is 97 years old, and she's in I don't know what stage it would be of dementia. She's just a sweetheart. I hate to say this for those that if Mom listens, I'm sorry. I call her my happy drunk. She's just a sweetheart, but very forgetful. So she'll say the same sweet things to you over and over. If you ever need a boost, go see my mom, because she'll tell you, oh, I love the way that dress looks on you, or I love the way you're wearing your hair, or have you lost weight? And she'll tell you every 7 minutes the same thing. So it really makes you feel good.
It's okay, though, because she's happy and she's fabulous.
Yes.
And she can tell me stories that when I go there and visit her, we just laugh the entire time I'm there.
So those of you who don't know, Linda comes over almost every Wednesday just to spend time with my mom, and you know, really just to get to know her and be her friend. And
for a while, I was trying to interview her about her life, but she interviews me.
Right. Yeah. That is.
She doesn't give me too much time, which is just fine. But
right. She's the type of person. Even when my dad was alive, you come over the house, and she shuts off the TV. It doesn't matter what. I mean, nobody could ever get my dad to turn off the golf game or something like that. But when people come to the house, Joe, turn off the TV. She wanted your full attention. She wanted to know about the kids, the grandkids. And
and
I just wanted to thank you for being there. You're her friend.
She's
Thanks.
My friend, too. You know, when I first started going to interview her was after, it was a little bit before COVID, but then COVID came, and then my husband passed away.
Yeah.
And I was just having a hard time. I really was having a hard time with COVID and everything, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I know your mom was having a little bit of a hard time. And so I went to meet her one day, and I said, Mama, you know, I need to get my fire back. And I need you to help me get my fire back if you can. And, you know, and maybe I can just come and interview some more times. I said, you know, Mama, I get myself involved in these projects, and I think I can do everything myself, and I always put too much on my plate. Could you help me with a project, too? And your mom right away is like, what's the project? And I said, we're going to send cards to men in the military and women in the military that don't really get any mail. And then she told me she was a poet. And we
oh, my gosh, she's so good.
Together, and it was just so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And she brought my fire back.
I tell you what, she loved to be the one helping. It's tough, I think, for the people that are being taken care of sometimes. There's the, you know, the guilt, even during just those moments where they're clearer than others, where they feel like they're the child instead. And I'm sure she's totally enjoying. She loves when you come over because she's helping you.
Yeah, exactly. And nobody, because nobody wants to be helpless.
Right.
And she did help you, Lenny.
Yeah.
She did help you.
What?
She did help you get some of your fire back.
She did. She totally did. And well, because we just need to be with people. I need to be with people. She's the same way.
Yeah.
You know, she'll tell me all the time, you remind me of my mother. She told me a story about her mother used to go into women's houses and measure them for corsets.
Yes.
I was like, what a job that was. She said, I swore I will never wear one of those, and I never did.
Her mother was a wild thing, way ahead of her time.
Yeah, that's what she says all the time.
She was something else.
Yep. But she sees you in her, so that's a great compliment.
Yeah, that's very nice. That's very nice. I was telling some stories about her this morning when I went out for a walk, and you could just hear it. It just goes on and on and on and on. So she's a gift to me, a real gift to me. And you know what? We all have gifts out there and people. Go talk to one of your neighbors, especially if they're elderly and they're by themselves. Just go have a conversation with them. Because you know what? What goes around comes around in this world.
Sure does.
Say, I'm going to be old sitting in a chair somewhere, and I'm hoping somebody's going to come visit me. And it's such a simple thing. And like I say, it does something for people on both sides.
We'll go visit her, Rick.
I'll visit you.
We'll be
when you're old.
I'm already there.
I know. I was already thinking that it's such a relative term. I mean, my grandkids, I'm ancient already. God, I remember thinking when 2000 would come around, I'd be 50. Well, I don't want to give away my age yet, so I don't want to say what number. But
why? Who cares?
What the hell? Yeah, 63. We're already ancient to some people.
To almost everybody, when you go to the doctor.
Your teacher was 28 years old, and she thought she was old.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Well, didn't they used to say 30? Once you hit 30, it's downhill all the way.
Thank goodness my mom's alive and well, because 97 sure makes 63 sound
yeah,
young.
Like you have a lot more time. My mom was 94 when she passed. Of course, she lived better than I did. So
Linda, this is a strange opportunity for you to be on the other end. Have you thought about something you'd like to say that comes more as a guest as opposed to the person doing the interviewing?
Well, I think a lot of our listeners know me, and I think a lot of our listeners don't know me.
Right.
And people all the time will ask me, so how did you do this? Like, how did this happen? How did, you know, this whole thing happen? I never thought I would be a caregiver. I moved down to Florida in 2000 from Long Island. And I would go back and visit my mother every 3 months. I was very, very close with my mother. And when I would go back to visit her, I would find out she was being more and more isolated in the house. She had a three-story house, and she was just like in one room. And you could write your name in the dust in the furniture, and there wasn't a lot of food in the refrigerator. And so my brothers and sisters all tried to convince her to move near one of us, but she was very stubborn. You know, I've lived in this house for 48 years. My church is 1 mile down the road. I'm not going nowhere.
That's my mom.
Which you get it. I get it. Well, in 2006, my mom found out that she needed a $9,000 chimney repair. My mother did not have $9,000. She could barely pay for the fuel and the taxes and everything on the house with the Social Security. So she called me up and she said, I surrender. Come find me somewhere to live. So to make a long story short, she ended up moving to Florida, which just delighted me to no end. And she moved into Freedom Square in Seminole, into an independent community, and our venture was going to begin.
And you tell that story from beginning to end in this book I'm holding up right now. If you haven't had a chance to read Goodnight and God Bless, do it for yourself.
I think you'll like it.
Did you notice I'm in that book?
Where to it.
Pardon me?
Did you notice she mentions me in that book?
I did.
Yeah, I did. The interior decorator.
Yes. Yes.
But it was just, you know, I had that fabulous. So my so mom moves down here, and then she's diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. Not the deal. And the doctor suggested she do some chemotherapy, and I have a sister who's a nurse. She didn't think it was a good idea. My other sister, her husband had died young from cancer, and she didn't think it was a good idea, but it's my mother's body, and it's my mother's choice.
Right.
And so she decided she wanted to try the chemo. And we did 2 rounds, and she was out like a light. I didn't think she was going to make it another week. And we decided to stop doing the chemo. Well, my mother also had dementia. But I didn't know she had dementia. I just thought she's being my goofy mother. But the dementia served her very well, because when she finished the chemo, the second round, she told everyone she was cured. Now, I don't know if she thought she was cured, she wanted to be cured, or she wanted everybody else to think she was. But you know what you put in your head?
Right.
We had a fabulous adventure. I was with her every day, except for one day when I went to jury duty. They wouldn't let me bring her. But
that could have been fun.
Yeah. Well, she was very interesting. I would take my mother to a networking meeting. You know, when you go to a networking meeting, they go around the table and you do your little 60-second commercial or whatever. My mom would say, "Hi, my name is Joe. I'm Linda's mother. I just moved here from New York, and I just want to find a man with a lot of money that just wants to be my friend." And
yeah.
People would be like, "Get on line behind me."
Yeah.
So it was fabulous. She had met people. You know, she would get out and do things. I know when she first moved down here, I didn't really know anybody her age. And what I did is one night I invited a bunch of my girlfriends from networking and I asked them to bring their mothers.
Wow, what a great idea.
And all the mothers got along and told all the stories we never wanted anybody to hear.
Yeah.
But then one night a week, the mothers would go to the movies or something. And it was just fabulous because she felt like she had her part. And we can do this with our mothers, with our fathers, with our loved ones.
I did notice that in the book. You took her everywhere, and she wanted to go everywhere with you.
When she remembered to come downstairs.
Yes.
Most of the time. Most of the time. But it just was a fabulous journey, and I had that opportunity to be with my mother. I could cry right now thinking about it. And,
yeah.
And then she became very ill. So I moved into Freedom Square with her, and I tucked her into bed one night, and she said to me, "Good night and God bless," which
right.
She said to me thousands of times before. But I thought that was going to be the last night. And I went in the living room that night, and I cried, and I prayed to God, "Please, just give me a little longer. I'm not ready."
Yeah.
And she woke up the next morning, and she looked good. So I started writing Good Night and God Bless. And I wrote through the last 3 weeks of her life and my grieving process, and then I reconstructed our adventure from the year before from my journals and my calendar. And who knew? Was God
who knew?
Who knew? You know, and I went out to promote the book, and every single time people came up to me crying, saying they needed help. And I remembered when I was taking care of my mom, lots of times I needed help, and I didn't know where to go or what to do. I didn't find out what respite care was until I was in my bereavement group. So I started getting more education and getting out there, and since then I've facilitated over 1,500 support groups and workshops, and we have the radio show for 4 years and the Tuesday Tips for 2 years, and it has been my utmost love and pleasure to be able to help caregivers.
Well, you told me to do something a long time ago when my father was still alive. You said I should interview my parents. Wow, that was really something. I learned so much.
Did you?
I learned about phobias that my father had. I learned things that he did that I had no idea. We all seem to think that our parents are born at age 50 with a house,
yeah.
A mortgage.
With the kids already born.
Kids
already,
right.
No hanky-panky.
Yeah, they were never kids. What do you think? But if you tailor your questions just right, you learn so much. The one question my father wouldn't answer, I wanted to know if he could warn me about things that were going to happen later in life that I could be at least ready for. Maybe, you know, your body failing in certain ways or anything. And he wouldn't tell me. He said, "Let's let something be a surprise." So he didn't want to really share that, you know, some of the things that happened that maybe could be embarrassing for parents and
right.
Or people that are starting to have a hard time with, whether it's, you know, bladder control or any of the kind of things that comes sometimes with aging that parents mm-hmm. will try and hide from you. But I learned so much about him as a child and some of the fears, why he's afraid of the dark. I never even knew he was. But he was trapped. They had these giant tubes that went underground. And he went inside with one of his friends and some of the other, his uncles, because they all lived by uncles back then, closed it up and they blocked him in. He was trapped inside this giant tube in the dark.
Oh,
and to this day, he says he has to sleep with the light on. Well, not to this day, because he passed last year at 98.
And he has all the light now.
Yes, another light.
How
yes.
old was he?
98.
Oh, he was.
98, and he was on a rowing team till 97, and we took him bungee jumping, and we did so many things with him. He had a bucket list that was made for a 35-year-old, and he was
Your
amazing.
Your mother and him had some life together, didn't they?
They
How
sure
many
did.
Kids?
9 kids. Married 72 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, just fabulous.
And I better get cracking, Lenny. We better get husbands so we can be married 72 years.
Yeah, exactly. And Rick, that must have been delightful for him, too, just being interviewed.
I think so. I think, and I did it separately, one at a time. And I feel like I'm talking too much now, but you got me lit up, Linda. That interview, I got to ask my father, who are the most influential people in his life? And he chose his father and Rose, you know, his wife. When I asked my mother, she said her mother and then Joe, her husband. So it was so neat, the two most influential people in their lives. And I didn't know that. And you know, back then, I think my mom's mother, who she brags about all the time, had a third grade education but was just brilliant. She could go anywhere, and anywhere she went, you've heard my mom say it 100 times, she ran the show, and there was her husband saying, there she is, talking to all the hootie-tooties. Yep. Doesn't matter who she is, she's in there with the big shots. And then my grandfather.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm so glad that you took that time to interview your dad. I encourage everyone to do that.
Do you have questions, Lynn? Didn't you have something that tell? Because sometimes you don't know what to ask.
Oh yeah, I have a whole list of questions if anybody ever wants them. On prompts that you can get.
Just go on lindaburhans.com and ask.
Just ask me, and I'll help you out. But it's just you're going to learn things that you never knew. We think we know so much about our parents, and like you said, we think that they were born at 50. But they've had fabulous lives, too, and that's where we're part of.
You've given me some great tips.
I want to have a conversation.
You do tips regularly on Facebook as well. Those are always great.
Yeah, two-minute tip is good because caregivers are pretty damn busy. But for 2 minutes, they can stop and sit still. Right now, I'm in the beginning stages of recording caregiver meditations. Mm. You know, if a caregiver would just start the day off, before they even get out of the bed, and just push on the meditation for 10 minutes and listen, it could start the whole day totally different.
Right, more patient.
I'd like to know how many hours are in your day.
Right.
Ooh, my day?
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. I don't know. I have
whatever she does in a day, mm-hmm. I do in a week.
Right.
Oh, well, and I'm exhausted.
So I'm here with my stepmother and with her cousin and her niece. And three of us are sleeping in the living room. And I wake up this morning, you know me, I drink a bottle of water, I put my sneakers on, and I'm out the door. They're like, where are you going? I guess I'm going for my walk. What?
He said, and you said a bottle of water, right?
Most of the time. What?
You said a bottle of water, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I needed a bottle of water because I had some cocktails last night.
There we go.
I was very thirsty this morning.
Did you have Prosecco?
Yes, we did.
Oh, give my love to Heidi.
Yes, it was fabulous. And today we're having ham and turkey. And like I said, I had my bagels. That was really, really... Oh, and she makes quiche because she's the best cook in the world, my stepmother.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
So, yeah.
So, Linda, you told me one other thing to do. You invited me to come see you as a speaker. And one of the things they had there was the ability to simulate dementia. And I went in there with my mom, and I wore goggles that were smeared with like Vaseline, gloves on my hands so I couldn't see well. I was brought into a dark room with headphones on, with music, with noise going on all the time, doors opening, closing, something dropping on the ground. And it was then I had to open up or try and read bottles of medicine that I couldn't really read. I had to turn off an alarm clock so it was just so many things going on, and it helped me to understand more of what is going on when my mother gets on what many of us in the family refer to as the hamster wheel. Certain things would set her off. There's a blinking light on her stove that all of a sudden will bother the heck out of her, and she starts writing a note that doesn't end about this, you know, this light, who could shut it off, why won't it stop, and she gets caught up in that stuff.
Tell her duct tape.
Duct tape. Yes.
Cover. Answer for a lot.
But it just helped me to understand a bit more.
You didn't take
what
your mother
like.
In with you.
I did.
You
she
did.
Wanted to. She wanted to go with it, and it was so interesting that she came out saying that You know, I can relate because my mother had dementia. She still had, she didn't have a recollection that she
Well, she doesn't.
Did.
She told me.
Right.
She doesn't. She told you.
Mm-hmm.
But she went in first. They made her walk in first, which I thought, oh, because I had to put in a little bit more. They didn't have her do all the stuff.
Oh, but right. still.
She went in, and the moment, she was frozen at the front door. And the moment I walked in, she grabbed onto my arm, and she wouldn't let go. And we just walked through things together. But I got to be in her world, but I'm sure it put her into, you know, into the twilight zone.
I can't believe they took her. And Linda got me to do it, too. And when we came out, she was so angry. Linda was.
I was angry because I couldn't do the stuff.
Yeah.
And I came out and went, oh, well.
Yeah. So was life. Well, no, it was a real awakening. To this day, I'm angry about medicine bottles with the writing that's this big.
Yeah, well, I couldn't even, the one I did, I was supposed to write something on a piece of paper and put it in an envelope, and I couldn't even do that.
No, but you remember that afterwards they sat us down in the groups, because you went in two at a time, and, that,
yes.
and they sat the groups down, and they said, well, somebody has a potty mouth.
I wonder who that was.
Was it you, Lynn?
I went in, and I went, oh.
Oh, shh. Yeah.
Yeah, and someone has a potty mouth, and I said, Linda, to Linda.
So, Linda, I have a question for you.
Wait, I think we need to hear from our wonderful partners first.
Oh, my goodness, Lynn, it's a good thing you're here.
So don't go away, guys. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
I'm so into this.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and four theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Is the fear of falling keeping you from doing the things you love? Do you suffer from diabetic neuropathy or plantar fasciitis? VoxLife can help. Whether you're caring for someone you love or being cared for, VoxLife wearable neurotech helps your body reach its full potential. Proven to reduce symptoms of diabetic neuropathy and plantar fasciitis, VoxLife also reduces the risk of falling in adults over the age of 55 by 8 times. VoxLife is a safe, simple, drug-free solution that optimizes your neurology. The biggest breakthrough in wellness in 50 years. VoxLife offers a 30-day money-back guarantee. You can't afford not to try it. To learn more about VoxLife, go to www.voxlife.com/caregivers. That's www.voxlife.com/caregivers. They help my parents and they can help yours too.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you, and I think to myself, What a wonderful world.
Okay, caregivers, now it's time for the caregiver affirmation. Take a minute. Take a deep breath. Sit down. Close your eyes if possible and just listen to these words. I know on my journey there is help and hope. I affirm that I am a good caregiver, that I try my best each day, and I recognize that I deserve to have my own needs met just as much as those for whom I care. I promise I will not allow myself to be consumed by my caregiving role, and I will set aside time in my busy schedule just for me. I am mindful of the other caregivers in my life, and I will let them know that I appreciate their efforts. I am grateful for the people that walk beside me. I will take good care of my own health physically and spiritually, drink enough water, eat quality foods, allow for time to rest and to exercise, laugh often, if only at myself, and seek medical attention for my own health concerns. I am who I am, and I allow others to be who they are. Today I will add one item to my assisting angels list. Then if someone calls to say, let me know if there's something I can do, I will be ready to accept their offer and provide them with the opportunity to assist me. It is an honor to be of service of others, and I will not deny my friends and family this honor. Okay, think about it, caregivers.
It's a good thing to think about. Mm-hmm. Lenny, thank you so much for cueing us.
No problem. And listeners that are out there that are listening, just go do something nice for a caregiver. Don't wait for them to ask you. Because most times they're not going to ask you.
Right.
When you go to the supermarket, BOGO, get one for them and just bring it over their house. When you're mowing their lawn, just walk over and mow their lawn at the same time, too. It's very easy, and you don't know how much you'll really be helping somebody. So please think about that. You guys don't look like you're smiling too much in that studio. I just saw you on Facebook. You're so serious.
Are we? We've been laughing.
I've been having a ball. We forgot commercials already.
That's my job. Linda, he's given me a lot of jobs that I wasn't aware that I was going to do.
You know, I think it's good for her. Time for her to step into the spot. Like,
fabulous.
All right, so I had a question for you.
Yeah.
New technology. So, I mean, it really comes down to just love and patience, I know, but there's a whole lot of new technology. Care to discuss some that you feel has been working more than others or is hot right now?
Yeah.
Well.
I think the Alexa is a big one. Right, Lenny?
I didn't hear you clearly.
Closer.
The Alexa is a big one that helps people. You can.
What?
Alexa.
Oh, yes, Alexa. Alexa's fabulous.
Yes.
And that helps a lot of people with dementia.
Well, and you can also, you can program Alexa to remind your loved one to take their medication. Alexa can just tell your loved one a joke.
Right.
Myself, some mornings I don't feel like getting out of the bed, and I just go, Alexa, play Uptown Funk.
Right.
And I have to get out of the bed and dance. But it can help so many different people. It's fabulous.
So we leave notes around the house that say, you know, Alexa, play music from 1950s. Alexa, call Joe. So there's different, we even have some that are down, you know, 1 foot off the ground in case my mother was to fall. It's a reminder for her to say the name first. We have her Alexa's name posted all over so she doesn't call her, you know, Alicia or like the commercial.
Or Siri.
Siri, yeah. So just reminders that, and Alexa's programmed so at any time she could just, you know, say, Alexa, call Richard or...
Right.
But there's so many last names all in Corvey. We had to do middle names. So it's called Richard Dominic or called Joe Larry, and just posted all around so she could easily call one of us.
I wonder why that said Alexa all over your mother's house.
Yes,
I never knew what it was for.
Yeah, just a reminder.
Yeah. Linda, tell Rick the story when you got your Alexa and it was set up for you and didn't work.
What?
You were probably calling it Siri, weren't you?
She was calling it Siri, and she called her grandson and said, this doesn't work. You did it wrong.
Oh, yeah.
You know those old people.
He goes, her name is Alexa, Grandma. Get it straight.
I've done that, haven't you?
Okay.
No, because I don't talk on my Siri.
Okay.
I write it all down.
Oh, that's right. Flip phone. That's right.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
You started it.
I know.
Yeah, but the technology is great, and the technology is great in so many other ways, too, like audiobooks.
Right.
So, you know, like your mom or your dad or mm-hmm. one can just put some headphones in and listen to whatever kind of story they like because they're all
oh, she loves that.
Today.
Oh, does she like the audiobooks, your
yes.
mother?
Yes. Whichever one you put on. So I always put on mine.
Oh, and it's your voice.
Right. No.
And that's fabulous. That's fabulous. Yeah, so we need to think about a lot of... Well, Lynn, you have always been a good person when your mom was ill and things, and finding those little tools and finding the different things that could make life easier.
There are so many things out, and it's just... Well, she broke a hip, and it's just... I got her one of those grabbers. You're supposed to get the
right.
cans out.
Mm-hmm.
She called me up and said, you know, Linda, it's not for that. It's the best thing in the world to pick up my newspaper because I can't bend over.
Right.
So it was fabulous.
And then even adjusting the shelves where things are kept.
Yeah, so it's more at their eye level.
Right.
And then they told her she had to shower, no longer bathe, and she liked to bathe. And she goes, I can't. My luggage is in there. So I said, well, take an umbrella, Ma. No, we got it set up. But that was her whole thing. I can't. That's where I store my luggage. But no, we had her pretty well set up.
I think it's interesting what Rick said about putting things at eye level. You know, if a senior falls, it could be the end.
Right.
It's really not good. So if they're at home, living in a home alone, and there's stuff up in the cabinet, you know they're going to try to climb up there.
And they'll pull out a stepladder, a stool. Oh, I didn't want to bother you.
Yeah. No, right. Just change it. Just go in there and change it and
right.
see what you're... Think of if you were in that position,
right.
what it would be like. I'm 67 and I don't like climbing a ladder too much lots
right.
of times.
It's a fine line, though, because they also don't like change.
Right.
So. I don't like change.
And it right. kind of feels like maybe a little bit of your independence is being taken away.
Right.
I think with your mother, Rick, the hardest thing, because my grandmother told me she had no friends.
Her age.
Yeah.
Right.
My mom says that all the time.
Yeah. My mother did. And those Canadian women, they were all in their 80s, 90s and played bridge and drove and went golfing.
Love it.
Well, but, you know, sometimes that's when good when people can move into a senior community.
Yes.
You know, people think moving into a senior community is a bad thing. For some people, it might be.
Right.
But for other people, it's a whole new life.
I thought of something else, the stove edition. At one point, my mom was leaving the stove on and things were burning. We were afraid she was going to burn down the house. So we took the knobs off the stove. Somebody did. She was furious. Give me my knobs back.
Yeah.
She was very mad. I don't blame her. So we came up with, there's something that we purchased that you plug into the stove and now you have to push a button before you could turn on the stove. And it'll go on. However, it senses your movement. And if there's no movement in front of the stove for 5 minutes or whatever time you set, it'll automatically shut off.
Where do you get that?
Online. That's the answer to everything anymore,
okay.
isn't it?
Okay.
Yeah.
You can look it up online. Anybody who is interested, contact Linda, and I'll get you the name of exactly what it is. It costs about as much as the stove, but
it saves a life in a house and whatever.
And she loves to cook eggs. I mean, I every time I see her, I eat eggs because she offers them to me every single time. Let me make you eggs. They're the same eggs. They're over way too hard.
You know what?
And I love them every time.
You're begging for those eggs.
I know.
Those eggs.
So I've been on a special diet lately. I'm not supposed to eat that. And I go to her house. Yes, Mom. I would love some eggs.
A little protein's never bad.
That's right.
Yeah, but, you know, many times I think you can be a better caregiver when you put yourself into the shoes of the person
right.
you're caring for. You know, for instance, people tell me, Mom keeps asking me something 18 times, or I'm so frustrated that Mom can't do this or she can't do that. And I always say to them, stop for a minute and think about how Mom feels.
Right. When they say something, they realize they've just said, because they catch it and then play it off like it didn't really happen.
Right. But we have to really be cognizant of that. And when we are, it just makes everything so much simpler, because when you really respect the person you're caring for, they have respect back for you, and they want to work with you. Many times we find, if we're not respectful to our seniors, they're going to be really ornery. Like, don't tell me what to do, or don't da-da-da. But if we go to it with love, and understanding and our own insecurities and admit that, I think the journey can be so much better.
You know, something that isn't talked about too often is the spouses. Like, say, my spouse, Jennifer,
right.
so patient with my mom. And I got to imagine that that's even tougher than being just the kid. But she'll answer the same question. My mom has three or four questions that she just asks Jennifer over and over, and she just keeps answering them. Sometimes she changes the answer, and it's humorous. But
Jennifer.
I'm so impressed with Jennifer. Thank you, Jennifer.
Yes, but it's so, you know, like, because you have to realize your mom's not asking you a bunch of times because she's trying to irritate you.
Right.
She's asking you,
she wants to be engaged.
Remember. Yeah.
And the thing is, you're going to, I have a girlfriend whose mother's 98, and her mother will say, ask her something, and it annoys Bernice. She says she could do it herself.
Mm-hmm.
She can do it herself. I said, okay, but she's not going to. You getting mad, who are you hurting but yourself?
And it frustrates
you're going to do
mom.
It anyway. So just say, sure, do
mom
it.
Mom gets agitated then, and they hate that feeling.
And you hate yourself afterwards.
Right.
So it's just easier to say, sure, Mom.
And it's a tough thing sometimes to try and, you are in a flipped role where you become the adult, but it's a real challenge to not act like it. You don't want to treat your mom like a kid. And you know, so it's a real challenge, and I'd love to hear some of your tips on that, Linda.
Well, I think so much of it is just approaching things with love and approaching things the way you would want to be approached.
Right.
And I think we don't think about that. And I find many times with what bothers me with seniors is they're sitting in their chair and we're walking around the room talking to them. We're not really even looking at them.
Right. I see that way too often.
You know, take the time to sit down and look into the eyes of your loved one.
Mm-hmm.
And spend some time. I know people that will go and visit their loved ones and they don't, well, and this is before COVID.
Right.
And they would not even hug them. The person would be sitting in the chair. Well, you find out when you go out and you give that person a hug, you can feel maybe they've lost some weight. You can feel they're a little bit more fragile. Maybe they're a little smelly, I hate to say.
Right.
But whatever it is, and you can do something about it.
You taught me another thing. God, you've taught me a lot. I say that a lot. You taught me to have an excuse to make sure and use their bathroom. Because you could notice a lot of things in there, the condition of the bathroom, and what other things you look for in there.
Yeah. Well, you know, lots of times people say, Dad doesn't want to go. I don't know why Dad's not going into the bathroom. When he goes to my sister's house, he goes in the bathroom all the time. Well, in this particular girl's house, there was a dark black carpet right in front of a throw rug right in front of the toilet bowl. Well, he thought it was a hole.
Oh.
So he wouldn't go in there because it was frightening to him.
Did Linda tell you about the black sheet?
The black sheet.
Tell her about him about the black sheet, Linda.
Black sheet is good, too. This one I just learned recently. Many times your loved one gets up in the morning, they're up for like an hour, and they want to go back to bed. We don't want them laying in bed all day. That's terrible. Well, if there's somebody that has Alzheimer's or dementia, this may work, is after they get up in the morning, you make the bed, put a black sheet over it. And when they walk into the bedroom, it looks the same thing like a hole, and they won't go in there.
It sounds a little mean.
Thing to make such
a- I don't know about that one.
Why?
Well, it keeps them up.
That feels very Wile E. Coyote-ish.
It is a little weird, but it works.
All right.
It works.
Next thing you know, I'm painting one of those things on the wall, the tunnel through the rock.
Yeah.
So, Linda, you've given so much advice over the years at all the places that you speak, all the time on Facebook. Let me try and nail you down with a tough question.
All right.
What's the most important thing caregivers need to know?
To take care of themselves.
Oh.
Take care of themselves.
I didn't expect that one. I was expecting something, you know, feel for that person, have some compassion. No. Take care of yourself first.
If you don't take care of yourself, you can't do any of that other good stuff.
Kind of like on the airplane, right?
Exactly.
Yep.
Interesting.
And you have to, because I say this to caregivers many times, and it may sound a little harsh, but if you don't take care of yourself, you're doing an injustice to your loved one.
Okay.
Because God forbid something happens to you, then what happens?
Right. Or you become an agitated swear word.
You can't care for yourself then. Now you got somebody taking care of both of you.
All right, Lynn just looked at me like it's commercial time.
It is.
It sure is. So hang on, all our listeners. Listen to our Rundle sponsors, and we'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
I'm so glad she's here.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and four theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Linda will email you the link. First off, on April 1st at 11 a.m., Arden Courts presents a Zoom webinar, The 9 Most Common Forms of Dementia with Tam Cummings. Did you want to say something, Lynn?
Yeah, and I really think it's important that when we get a diagnosis of dementia, we find out what kind of dementia it is, because there's whole different patterns, there's different things to do. So make sure you get a diagnosis, and the best way is to listen to Tam, and she'll tell you about all the different kinds.
And she's very interesting.
Oh, she's fabulous. She has a book, Untangling Dementia, that is just fabulous.
And also, don't forget Linda's journaling workshop for caregivers, although she says you don't have to be a caregiver, but we all are. And that's the second Monday of each month, and the next one will be April 12th.
Yay!
But then we have a live, A Daughter's Journey with Love, Laughter, and Lessons Learned. It's by Linda. It's at Freedom Square on May 5th at 11 a.m. Ooh, and you get lunch is included.
Yeah, it's also nice. Virtual. It'll be live and virtual.
Oh, it'll be both?
Yeah, so that'll be really good. So if people can't come live, they can come virtually. So I would love to see you there.
But then they have to make their own lunch.
Yeah, they have to make their own lunch. That's true. And I want to say, too, we have the big conference coming up in November. November 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. It's going to be the conference for caregivers. It's going to be 3 days with 5 sessions a day. So we'll have a lot going on with that. And as it progresses, I'm just fleshing up everything now. We'll let all listeners know about it, but I hope they don't want to miss that.
No, that's a big one. That's going to be wonderful, Lenny.
The great opportunities today, before you, we would have a conference in your town. You'd only have speakers probably from your town. Now I can have speakers from over the United States or anywhere that can come on to come be part of it. So that's really fabulous, and the fabulous part that people don't have to leave their homes, so they don't have to worry about finding someone to care for their loved one. And since it's a 3-day event, you can pop in and out whenever you want. Because many times my caregivers say to me, we kind of like that 3-day thing because we can pop in and out whenever we want. Because sometimes, you know, Linda, we sign up for your stuff and we forget.
The silver lining of 2020, all this new technology.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought I wasn't going to like it, but I am. A lot of it I really do like. Because I think it's worth, you know, every Sunday my family has a Zoom call at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Whoever can come on comes on, and it's great. It's great to see everybody every week. It's great to see my granddaughter in Germany and my stepmother in New York, you know, and my sister in Maine. It's fabulous.
You talk to them more now, don't you?
Yeah.
That's fabulous. And it's nice to see people when you're talking. I like the seeing people in person.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was never a big phone talker before.
No, you weren't.
I'd rather be face-to-face.
Yes.
You do it on Zoom, it's much nicer.
Yeah, Zoom, it's close to face-to-face.
Yeah,
and it's
I
nice
feel
to see
like
multiple people at the same time. I mean, otherwise, a phone conversation is just one-to-one. So this has just opened it up to be, I mean, from anywhere you could all talk. It's beautiful. Yeah, we sound like old people, don't we?
No, we're not.
This new technology. What's in it for us? So I wondered, I had a question for you. No matter how much I know about dementia, when I get it, because I feel like it's coming, will I even know? And I feel like the hardest thing is going to be, my mom tries so hard to not be a burden that she's a burden. Know what I mean?
Right.
And I want to make sure that maybe...
I haven't had dementia yet, so I really don't know. But from everything that I've learned, it can be very frustrating for them.
Yeah, but Brian LeBlanc knows what he's going through.
Yeah, and that's great. And that's why we need to talk to people that have dementia while they're at the stage where we can still have a conversation with them. Now, Brian right now, so Brian LeBlanc's a friend of mine, and he has Alzheimer's, and he speaks about it. They have a show, We Are Dementia Strong. He's been on my show before.
You gotta hear.
Well, recently he made a video that is going to be given to the people that will be taking care of him in the future to say what he likes.
Wow, so love it.
He says, let's say he has to move into a community. Well, they're going to know that when he wakes up the first thing in the morning, he wants his cup of coffee, but he doesn't want to eat right away.
I love that. I'm going to do that.
It's fabulous. And like he says, and I saw a little bit of it. He says, and take me outside. I love to be outside. I just want to be out. You know, he tells them the things he likes.
I got goosebumps on this one. That's
and it
brilliant.
Makes it so much better for the care partner, too.
Yes.
You know, it's just like we said a couple weeks ago, and we've talked before about, like, the memory boxes. Sometimes people go to visit grandma or their loved one and everything. They just don't know what to say, especially if they're younger.
Right.
They don't know what to say. Well, you can do something really easy. You can just go on the internet and print out some pictures. Let's say your grandma was born in Brooklyn. You print out some pictures of Brooklyn, and you can have a conversation about it. Or she was a teacher. What
was it like growing up in Brooklyn?
When people come in, they can just pick one up and start a conversation.
I think we're about done for the day.
Already?
Oh, my goodness. Time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it?
I guess so. But it is. It's time. Rick, did you want to say anything else?
Yes, I wanted to let you know that Linda said I should walk out at quarter after just so you would be able to see that you could do this on your own. I didn't do it. She didn't really. Just kidding.
Oh, Linda, I was about to not pick you up at the airport. But I do have one thing to say. I'd like everybody, if you're listening... Wherever you're listening, go on YouTube and Facebook and love this show so that Linda will know we did a good job.
Yay.
You did a great job. I love you, my friends, and all our caregivers. Tune in next week for another special show. You know how much I appreciate your time. Remember that God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
You were a wonderful guest.
Love you.
That's a wrap, buddies. Bye.
Oh, I keep forgetting.
Right.
Close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night.